Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Today on The Grave Talks, Searching for Bigfoot, a conversation with Kev LaStarge. Is Bigfoot real or just a legend? Kev LaStarge has spent years chasing that answer. Growing up in Wisconsin, his fascination with the elusive Sasquatch has taken him into some of the most remote forests in America, and has experienced encounters that defy easy explanation. These Class B experiences have fueled not only his field work, but also his desire to share the wonder of the mystery itself. That passion led him to write and illustrate Billy Finds Bigfoot, a children's adventure that blends imagination, respect for nature, and the thrill of the unknown. Today we explore Kev's evidence, debate whether Bigfoot truly exists, and discover how his work, both in the field and on the page, keeps the legend alive. Today on The Grave Talks, Searching for Bigfoot, a conversation with Kev LaStarge. Thank you so much for chatting with me tonight. You have recently written a children's book about Bigfoot.
Yeah.
And so I want to talk to you about that. But before I go into that, I want to find out why. Because that means to me, you have an interest in Bigfoot.
That's right.
And I'm going to guess this interest in Bigfoot probably is something that happened a while back with you. A lot of times things like that happen when you're a kid and you read a book at the library about Bigfoot or something.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you, Carol, for having me on the show.
Oh, thank you.
So, yeah, I mean, I think I'll take you back to at least 1995. The internet was just kind of getting going. And the very first website that I went to was the BFRO.net, which is a Bigfoot field researchers organization website. That was my realization that there are other people out there who not only have perhaps had experiences of Bigfoot, but actually also believe and are interested in that topic. Take you back even before that, a movie called Harry and the Hendersons.
I remember that.
That was my spark to really saying, oh, wait a minute, like, what is this thing? Like, it's in the woods. And so it all started with Harry and the Hendersons and John Lithgow. And I was just like, oh man, what a, and that, by the way, if you haven't seen the movie in a while, rewatch it. It's so good.
It is. It's really a good movie, actually.
And there are pieces of that movie that actually are very descriptive of circumstances that people have with Bigfoot, in that there's times where there's hunters out there who are hunting deer, but then all of a sudden they come up on a Bigfoot, and for whatever reason, they realize that this thing that they're seeing is more man than it is animal, or that's the feeling that they get. And that's exactly a scene that happens where John Lithgow is like, oh, I'm just going to hunt it down with my rifle. And he gets it in its sights, and I can't do it because it's too manlike. It's looking at me. And it's those little nuggets that I was like, man, they actually did their research, which was very good of them.
I have a question. Is there a difference between Bigfoot and Sasquatch?
No.
Okay. Are they used interchangeably?
Yeah, I mean, this all started way back when with, you know, even before, so there, you might hear of someone named John Green. He actually was the one who kind of coined, I want to say, like, more so the term of Bigfoot because of the construction sites that they were working around. And ultimately, there was big footprints everywhere. But before that, I mean, the natives, I think, would call it Sasquatch. Before that, other things, which I can't pronounce, so I'm not going to attempt. But then you actually also have other countries.
Yes.
You have the Yeren, the Yeti. These are Asian-like Sasquatches or Bigfoots. Or Himalayas, which would be the Yeti, right? Or the Abominable Snowman, which was really popular in like the 1950s because of certain movies that
Rudolph
were
off the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
There you go. So there's... What I find is also very interesting, which is actually in a book that I love to mention, which is The Abominable Snowman, The Legend Comes to Life by Ivan Sanderson. So this actually offers a really good in-depth exploration of the Yeti and similar cryptids, which I can get into that term if need be, but like different exploration of unknown animals, which is a cryptid. And really what Sanderson does is he actually combines field research and folklore and firsthand accounts to present a really comprehensive look at the evidence and theories are surrounding around Sasquatches or Bigfoot of basically on every continent.
You know, regionally in the U.S., it seems like, and the one that's popping into my brain, probably because I'm in Kansas and Missouri is next door, the Momo Monster.
That's right.
Are those different... regionally, different terms for basically a Bigfoot?
They are. You'll also hear wood booger. You'll also hear skunk ape out of the Everglades in Florida. So even regionally, the United States has regionalized the term of more or less Sasquatch or Bigfoot.
Well, and it would kind of make sense, and I do want to get into, is it real? What do you feel? Like all that stuff. But it does make sense to me. Let's assume that Bigfoot exists, or Sasquatch. I'll say Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bigfoot.
But it makes sense to me that regionally it would look different. It's kind of like squirrels look different in different parts of the U.S. They might be more gray. Where I live, they're more brown. You know, animals can have different characteristics depending on where they live. They can still be considered a squirrel, but they might look a little bit different.
Looks, and there are reports out there about temperament, where the more Pacific Northwest you get, they're more docile and just kind of want to be left alone, whereas the more East Coast you get or Everglades, they're a little bit more aggressive.
Well, you know, let's be real. The Pacific Northwest versus the East Coast, they're more laid back. They're more, you know what I mean? Even in people, it kind of fits.
They are just like people. And there's a theory out there that there's some correlation to the color that one might see. There's blonde ones. There's brown ones. There's gray ones. There's black ones. This is referring to the hair that they have. And so gray might, if you come across a gray one, that might actually be an older one, right? And so there's accounts of these different colors, and or even kind of like an auburn, amberish type of redhead, if you will. So I think this actually is very important as science continues to try to crack this, you know, nut, if you will, of exploring Sasquatch or Bigfoot, because we just don't quite know yet. So to get back to your point, I think depending upon the region, it's going to have different hair color, as well as temperament, as well as size. Whereas the South, these are typically a little bit smaller, but then the North, they get a little bit bigger. And that's potentially attributed to food sources or climate, all sorts of things.
You know, I was recently in Oregon a couple months ago to visit my sister, and we were driving. They live right on the Oregon coast. So okay. We're driving from Portland to where they live. And so it's really going through this really densely wooded area. And I'm in the back of my nephew's truck.
Sure.
And I'm like, I'm looking out the window. And I said, this makes me think, why wouldn't there be a Bigfoot? Because, I mean, it's so dense. It would be so hard to find something in those woods if they don't want to be found.
And that's also a bit of the game, is do they really not want to be found? Do they want to be left alone? At the same time, you hear stories and you'll hear Indian native cultures say, well, if they want to show themselves to you, they will. There's a reason that they're showing themselves to you. And so it's all a part of that mystery. But I actually, I commend you for actually looking out the window and looking into the woods and saying, you know, there's got to be something else perhaps out there.
Because on one side's the ocean. There's so much in the ocean. You know, it's like it's so vast. There's these huge creatures and there's this whole other world one side of the highway. And on the other side of the highway, I'm like, you could so easily be never found.
That's, I guess, you know, I would imagine that your audience as well thinks outside of the box, whether it's different realms, whether it's things below the ocean, whether it's possible beings in the forest, other beings out there in the universe. There's just so much that we don't know. So if anyone who is listening is rolling their eyes already at this topic and is about to change the channel, I would say stick with us. But at the same time, it's just a case of this is exploring what is our world. And to me,
and the possibilities,
and especially a creature out there that science just really is digging its heels into the ground, not wanting to come to terms with the possibility. However, there are so many stories and so many experiences of people seeing a Bigfoot. There's military stories of seeing a Bigfoot. The Mount St. Helens, when that erupted, there were actually there's a story out there that's, you know, military came in to kind of clean up and, you know, organize the forest, if you will. And they came across Bigfoot bodies, but that had to go under wraps because we can't necessarily share the fact that even our military perhaps knows that these creatures exist.
Well, so the same with aliens in the military,
Right. So it's,
I think
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I think that our audience as a group, I would say we're pretty open-minded, but you know, we talk a lot about paranormal things and it's very similar in the eye roll that you'll get from people. Because if you are like, oh, yeah, I've had paranormal experiences. Yeah, right. But they've never had one. So if you haven't had a paranormal experience, how can you believe in it? If you haven't had any kind of experience with Bigfoot, once again, how can you believe in it? But I think we're a group of people who are open to the possibilities.
Well, and there's enough science, if you will. I mean, there's enough science for the paranormal side as well. But I would also say that there's enough science that footprints are being left behind. footprints in the sense where it's actually been studied by, and I'll mention Dr. Jeffrey Meldrum. So in his book, Sasquatch Legend Meets Science, this actually explores the phenomenon of the Sasquatch through a blend of whether it's folklore that you might hear or actually scientific inquiries. But ultimately, the physical evidence, such as the footprints or hair samples, are coming more to light. And one of the things that is so impressive about footprints is the fact that we're seeing a mid-torso break, which is actually a bend in the middle of the foot, which is only captured with primates. And so the fact that Dr. Meldrum was able to shed light on that discovery really made it, it was a significant find, because it's the idea that someone can go out there and put wooden planks on your feet and try to stomp around, which of those footprints have been debunked. But when you actually look at a footprint that are in line and you see movement in the toes, you see grabbing, you see different weight shift, if it's on a hill or something, that's significant. That means that this is a real creature, and it is, I'll even go ahead and say it's impossible to almost replicate that, because nothing has that ability. And also there's the dermal ridges, which dermal ridges are like your fingerprint or your toe prints. There are cases where that has been captured as well. And I don't know how anyone could possibly, I mean, there's been very many, even Les Strauss, where he tries to work with the most Hollywood paid prosthetics that you can possibly have out there. They can't really do it. And the strides, and it's just, at the end of the day, it's just super hard for a person to replicate the footprints with the stride distance, with the movement of the foot and the toes. It really just becomes, this becomes really hard science. But it's not taken seriously, which is frankly a possibly a mystery even bigger than Bigfoot, if I could say that.
So you have gone on Bigfoot expeditions, correct?
Yes, a number of them.
What parts of the country have you gone to? Are there some areas of the country that have more reports of sightings than others? Is there, you know, it's kind of like, I think I live in Kansas, so people come out here mm-hmm. and go pheasant hunting or deer hunting.
Sure. And,
you know, so they know where to go, where you're going to find more deer or pheasants. Is that kind of what you do? You kind of gather that data first?
So when I was looking, when I was looking on with a BFRO, I was always kind of tracking the BFRO and that organization. Finding Bigfoot really made that organization, I think, very popular. And with Matt Moneymaker kind of being a part of that show, being the owner and creator of the BFRO, it kind of said, okay, well, there's opportunities to actually go out there and have an expedition with the BFRO. So we talked to some family members, some friends who's interested. So, you know, I would actually go there with a family member, and the very first time. So to answer your question, Carol, the couple places that I've been to was New Mexico, the Mount Hood area in Oregon, as well as Washington, the Gifford-Pinchot area, Texas, Wisconsin even. So there's kind of all over to some degree, Iowa even. And soon I think I'll probably go over to the East Coast, because there's a lot of things happening like the Appalachian area.
Oh, yeah.
Maine is big. Vermont is big. New Hampshire, like, funny enough, there's a ton of forest in those states.
I was going to ask, is the common denominator densely wooded areas for the most part?
For the most part,
because like really, you don't want to come to Kansas to look for Bigfoot.
Well, you know what's funny? If you're actually on the BFRO website, it'll show that Illinois has more sightings than Wisconsin, And Illinois, to me, from what I've seen, is 90% corn and farm and not a whole lot of forest. But they have more sightings. Now, that's perhaps because of two points. One, people are more open to actually sharing their stories. And if someone's more willing to share their story, you're actually going to capture that report. Whereas perhaps in Wisconsin, people are just like, yep, it's a thing. I don't want to talk about it. So therefore, I'm not going to report it.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
Or two, there's potentially more food sources there. If half the state is covered in corn and wheat and other farmland and vegetation where a Bigfoot can, you know, kind of hop, skip, and jump and survive, it will do that. All that to say, I think it really comes down to the whatever climate is most appropriate for that specific Sasquatch. I think there's a lot to say about if they're migratory or not. I don't think we've quite captured all this, like the data points behind that. I think there's a lot of researchers out there who say that they actually kind of stick to the same area. But to that point, there's just it's still a bit unknown.
It seems to me there could be some migration in states like Kansas that have definite four seasons. You know, it's like it gets way too hot here in the summer for them. So maybe they move to a cooler climate. I don't know. It's an idea.
It's an idea. And until we can actually tag one and follow its migratory season, if that is ever a thing.
That would be awesome.
That would be groundbreaking.
Since you have been on a number of expeditions, I'm going to guess there's something that has happened along the way that keeps that you got enough of a we're on to something to do it again and again and again. Because if you go and do three or four and it's like, this is the most boring thing I've ever done, you're not going to do it again. So I'm going to guess you've had some kind of experience or maybe some evidence.
Yeah, there's an interesting point that you made. And that's actually a question that had never been asked. Because had I not had an experience, would I still be all about it? Great question. I don't know.
Because you have to, yeah, because it's like, I'm kind of bored and this is costing me money and yeah, I keep looking. It's like going fishing and never catching anything.
That's right. And so I guess I will say this to the audience. There are plenty of folks out there who charge for expeditions. I also think that you could possibly look online at many different places and maps that have had sightings. And you could have one, depending upon your area, you could have one rummaging through a dumpster bin down the road. You could have one in a rural farm area trying to pick up a chicken, things like that. So you don't have to be millions of miles away somewhere up north Canada or Alaska. You don't have to be in grizzly bear country necessarily to have an experience. I think with the right conditions, you could actually have something in your backyard, as well as given the human population. Great.
If I look outside tonight and I see a Bigfoot, I'm calling you.
Yeah, that's right.
Kevin, you won't believe what I just saw.
Yeah, that's right. So I think it also kind of comes down to like, I think your question was my experience.
Mm-hmm. Have you gotten an experience that you felt like was attributable to a Bigfoot?
Yeah. And so Los Alamos, New Mexico, funny enough, it was New Mexico. I was not expecting anything. And I think that's actually something to say about your intention of going out there in the woods. Don't expect anything. Go out there, have fun, bring friends, family, whatever. Build a campfire, eat your food, have a hot dog, whatever it might be. Play music. That, in fact, will actually draw them in closer because the theory is that they're actually very interested in what and who we are and what we do. They prefer to observe as opposed to really get close. So we were in Los Alamos, and it was even the first night I was even feeling something was different. You could sense that the woods were kind of alive in some sense. And so the first night was really interesting because I felt as if I could hear something far off in the woods, very dark. Couldn't see anything without, you know, a FLIR, which is like infrared camera. But you could hear this, and this is kind of a buzzword, like this lumbarous crunch, crunch, crunch. It had a rhythm to its pace. That was the first night it kind of went away. Didn't really know what to make of it. I was actually chalking it up to someone not knowing where they were and just kind of off trail. The second night was where it was very interesting, because my family member and myself, three other fellows, one was actually a part of the BFRO. We split up. So it was the three of us, the two of them. They went off on one trail. Three of us went off on another. It was so still, you could actually hear your pulse kind of beating in your ears. That's how still it was and how quiet it was, which was actually, I've never experienced that outside before.
Because that means there's zero wind.
Zero wind. I mean, there was no bugs. There was no flies, mosquitoes, nothing. Full moon, which I also thought was very important. So I felt as if we should have tried something different, which was, let's walk every 30-ish feet, maybe even 30 yards, whatever, stop in a shadow, and let's just kind of stop and wait. This is going to, if anything is watching us, I would imagine that they're going to think, what are they doing, right? We did this for maybe about 5-10 minutes, maybe 15, but that's as much as what it seemed like. And there's this little trickle of a pebble that came down like this hill area that was coming off this mountain. And we all acknowledged it. We didn't have a FLIR. We didn't have audio. We didn't have any other type of camera. No phones were out. It was truly just three people experiencing things that were happening, which I think is kind of, maybe that actually gave us our experience, because I think a lot of the times you can have someone coming with all sorts of camera, all sorts of audio and visual equipment, and they'll get nothing. It was just ourselves. So this pebble comes down. We acknowledged it. I looked. I couldn't see anything. We said, okay, let's continue. We probably took no more than 10 steps, and we got a very deep, and this is another buzzword, a guttural growl. Very deep. It shook almost the shirt off of my chest, as if the bass was turned way up.
Oh, that's interesting.
And we all stopped. And I can try to reenact it for you. I don't know how it's going to come over audio, if you'd like.
Yeah.
But it was this kind of...
That was creepy. The way you just did that was really creepy. Wait till you hear this. You got to listen back when we air this. That was creepy. So, okay, thank you.
Thank you. So it was me in the woods. So this thing does this, but it was, Carol, I kid you not, it was deeper. It just, and this thing was... I'm doing this over a phone call. This was what seemed to be 50 yards down a trail. It winded into somewhere where we didn't know where it went. We turned back. I said, okay, something's over there. We all acknowledged it. We're going to radio one of the BFRO folks, and we're going to try to get back to them. So we went back up trail. We left, essentially. I radioed this guy. His name was Bill. Bill, and this is very important to the story, Bill was like, I think he could have been about 6'10", like 6'11". He was a very tall fella. I radioed to him, and I said, hey, we had this experience. What do we do? Oh, he said, okay, well, we should probably meet up. We're down this trail. You're going to see this mile marker, whatever. Take a right there. I said, okay. So as we're kind of going, and I'm trying to keep him on the radio, I see this amber light ahead of us, but maybe 50 yards plus. And I said, oh, Bill, did you just turn on your headlamp? I think I see you. No, no one has their headlamp on. okay. And it went off. But it was about the size of, I would say, almost like a basketball or a softball, at least. It was large, and I could see it. Come to find out, and I'll kind of skip ahead a little bit, but come to find out that where we were was actually on a hill. And that orb that I saw, and I'm going to call it an orb because this was in the tree line, up in the trees. This was not someone with their headlamp, which I thought was super unique. I wasn't expecting that. And if I don't call it an orb, I'll call it a light that happened to be amber in color in the trees that went on and went off. So we finally, I put that on my mind because we had just gotten growled at, a lot was going on. We met up with Bill and this other person, told them what happened. We decided we're going to go back. So we told them what we did. We stopped every 30 feet. Pebble trickled down this hill. Okay, where do you think you heard it? It was down the path where it kind of turns, but we don't know what where this path goes. Okay, let's go down there. Well, we go down to the path where it turns, and as soon as we get down to the path where it turns, it opens up into a large meadow where it goes from your right side to the left side and kind of a hill because you're on a mountain. It's going sloping. Well, we have to cross this meadow. And the moon was shining just so perfectly where you could actually see the tree line. And it was just a wall of trees. I said, okay, well, we're going to cross this meadow. And as we did that, Bill goes, now, just about the halfway point, Bill says, now, I got to tell you, just in case something comes rushing out of there, and it's a Bigfoot, and they bluff charge like a gorilla does, just put your head down, don't look at it, and just sit down. So many thoughts at that moment came rushing and flooding through my mind as,
God, yes.
Okay, number one, you're expecting me to acknowledge that this exists. I'm not supposed to run or scream or anything. I'm supposed to put my head down and just simply sit and not acknowledge that this creature is maybe could be a feet away from us.
See, and that's where your fight or flight comes in. You know, it would be really hard to ignore that instinct.
A bit of the, I won't bury the lead here. That didn't happen, but it was still the acknowledgement of, I'm going to have to acknowledge that this exists. Like, I'm here to experience it, sure. But for someone to tell me that this could happen very, in the very near future, as in like the next couple of minutes, you don't almost have enough time to think of anything else. You just say, okay, well then I'm going to sit and I'm going to close my eyes or whatever it might be. I'm just going to sit and hopefully this thing doesn't take off my head. That's all I could think of.
I would be so scared.
So we decided to, okay, are we going to kind of break this barrier of this tree line? And we said, yeah, we're going to do it. Let's see what happens. Before we do, Bill takes out this wood block and he goes, okay, I'm going to try something. I'm like, where did that come from? Takes out this wood block and he goes, okay. And so he hits this wood block twice and nothing. But then we said, okay, well, let's walk a couple more feet. As soon as we walked a couple more feet, this is where we actually had this crack, crunch, tree, like, come all the way down. It cracked. We could hear the crack. We could hear that the bark snapping, the trunk snapping, all of it. And as soon as that first trunk cracked, what happened was there was actually mountain cattle that was in that same area. Now, they didn't get spooked by us. They didn't get spooked by perhaps this thing walking by them. What they got spooked by was either this tree or some type of infrasound that some may think that Bigfoot's, you know, kind of produce that caused this 30 plus mountain cattle to storm out of this tree line down the meadow where we just were, and these were big cows. And I always kind of say, and this is where I think the human element of everyone's story should kind of come through, where it's like, I'll be vulnerable and I will say, like, yeah, did I reach for this family member thinking that this was it? Yeah. Because yeah. I thought it was. Who wouldn't? There's so much going on. And this cattle rushed down this meadow. That kind of subsided. We were all in shock. One of the guys was trying to get his FLIR to work and trying to zoom around. He couldn't see anything. But then you hear this lumbrous walk again, crunch, crunch. And it was deliberate. And it just kind of faded over this mountain hill. And that was the very first encounter, class B, where we heard growling and we had a tree get knocked down. And that was like that, maybe that sealed my fate in this whole journey that I feel like that I'm on, is there's something out there. So many people have experienced it even more than I have. And it just kind of becomes this bug.
And that wraps up part one of our conversation with Kev Lestarge about searching for Bigfoot and his children's book, Billy Finds Bigfoot. Find the book at HangerOnePublishing.com and follow him on Instagram at Pine Shadow Design. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, you could become a Gravekeeper. You can sign up on Apple Podcasts, or you can also sign up at patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you very much for listening.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Does your employer pay for training or education that could help you in your job today? Then, IT folks, this is for you. CBT Nuggets offers online IT training that's affordable and, dare we say, fun. From networking and cybersecurity to data science, CBT Nuggets has the training to get you through the workday. With our courses, you'll build real-world skills with short, engaging videos, hands-on virtual labs, and quiz questions to test what you've learned. Go to cbtnuggets.com and check it out. Our online platform launches right in your browser. No expensive hardware or software is needed to start. The best part? You can watch and learn at your own pace, on your schedule. cbtnuggets.com. It's IT training for all levels. From beginner-level courses to advanced network training, our expert instructors give you information that's informative, meaningful, and engaging. We've been helping learners for over 25 years, and we're a trusted name in IT training. So tell your boss it's time for CBT Nuggets IT training. Go to cbtnuggets.com and get started today.